Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A champion in that fight is a man I've long thought of as both a friend and an inspiration. He is Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado's 5th Congressional District. He serves on several important committees, including notably the House Armed Services Committee, its Subcommittee on Strategic Forces and Readiness, which bears directly on the topic that I'm particularly anxious to talk with him about. Congressman Lamborn, thank you as always for finding time. I know this is being jammed into a busy schedule, including a classified briefing you're taking at the moment, but it's really appreciated that you're here to share some of your thoughts as to where we are on this budget at the moment.
You're sure welcome, and I'm happy to talk about the budget as it constantly is evolving.
Good. Well, at the moment, one of the things that's a little distressing is Congressman Tom Price, who's the chairman of the Budget Committee in the House and very good man, has seemingly come up with a scheme that doesn't meet our present need, and you've expressed some criticism about it. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
We need to have a fully funded defense. There's just no two ways around it. We live in an increasingly dangerous world, it seems like, especially when we have weak leadership at the very top coming out of the White House. That seems to incentivize the bad guys to act more aggressively. So what I'm hoping we can do is have $523 billion in the base budget and then add roughly $90 billion for overseas contingency operations, or OCO. Things like Afghanistan and ISIS, our fleets addressing those threats, and so on. At first, the Budget Committee was talking about having some of that OCO money in a reserve that, to us, on our services, was very iffy because it may or may not materialize, and if it does materialize, it may be later in the year when it doesn't do much good. So it looks like they're backing away from that, and we will have two pots of money, the $523 billion and then roughly $90 billion for OCO. And I think we can make that work.
You've been sitting through, I know, in the course of the preparation for the committee's markup, the House Armed Services Committee markup, as it's called, of the annual National Defense Authorization Act, testimony from senior government officials and military leaders. What are you hearing from them about the necessity of the kinds of increases that you're seeking in the budget for this year?
What I'm hearing, based on the threats that are out there, Frank, is that that's a bare minimum, and we don't want to go below that. We don't want to go also, for instance, below the president's proposed amount. I mean, we should be doing more than that, but certainly not any less. And we want to avoid the sequestration kicking in, because that puts handcuffs on the ability of the commanders and the Pentagon on how they spend the money. So we have to build in flexibility. We have to let the Authorization and Appropriation Committee fine-tune the spending, also give flexibility where it's needed to the Pentagon to make the dollars really count. So I think we're down the road, Frank, to actually accomplishing that, but we can't do any less than that.
Well, it's very heartening to hear you say that, Congressman Lamborn, because I must say I've been watching this for some time now, and the pressure that you're under, it seems, not just from the Obama administration and others on the left to cut our national defense, but also from some of your colleagues, namely people who are called fiscal conservatives or fiscal hawks, and I think you're one of them in most days, but when it comes to national security, you very clearly understand how this is the first responsibility of our government. And I'm just wondering, what is your sense as to the resistance coming from your friends and colleagues who seem to put, you know, fiscal discipline ahead of national or common defense?
Well, bless their hearts, they want to do the right thing for the future of our country. And a huge national debt, Frank, and we would all agree on this, is a slow-rolling disaster that, as it gets bigger and bigger, is going to cramp our and crimp our options in the future. No one wants that to happen. It will hurt our economy. So I understand the impulse behind it, and I am in full agreement. But let's find savings in the two-thirds of our budget that is social programs and entitlements. And up until now, President Obama and the Democrats in Congress have not even lifted a finger to address one penny of overspending in those areas. There's so much waste, fraud, and abuse. We could save literally billions with very little effort, and people wouldn't starve on the streets or anything like that, and nothing like that. So, Frank, we do have to address spending, but not at the expense of our national security. Let's look at the other two-thirds of our budget. That's everything. Defense is actually around 15% of the budget when you combine discretionary and mandatory. And I know I'm getting in the weeds here, but the 15% of our budget that's military, let's don't take the savings out of there.
Well, especially given that there's been, I guess, approximately $1 trillion cut out of defense spending already between the Obama administration's cuts and sequestration and so on. So it's not like it's being spared. It's just that what has already taken place, and again, this is evident from the testimony before the committee, has put us in a parlous situation. As you say, Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, especially given the nature and expansion of the enemies that we're facing, and they're being emboldened by this kind of behavior. Let me turn to a particularly troubling issue, and I know you've been very, very supportive of the state of Israel over the years. Congressman, we'll be talking more about it in the course of the program with others, but I wanted to get your take on the administration's response to, well, first of all, the appearance by Benjamin Netanyahu in the joint session of Congress recently, in which he warned about the deal that they're cooking up with Iran. And I know you've been worried about that, too. So maybe comment on that, but also on now the rather stunning victory of Benjamin Netanyahu in the elections in Israel this week. And evidently threats from the Obama administration that it's going to retaliate by ending the kind of protective role that we've played historically in the United Nations as it comes under, Israel does, endless assault from that organization and its members.
Frank, several weeks ago when Benjamin Netanyahu addressed Congress, there was an electric atmosphere, and he was a prophetic voice warning our country, warning the world, what would happen if Iran is allowed to go down the path they're pursuing, and how this administration is negotiating a deal that will be very little in the way of stopping them from doing that. We needed to hear that. The administration does not want to be exposed for negotiating a very poor deal, and that's why they're so viscerally, emotionally upset at Benjamin Netanyahu. With his election the other day, he did have a stunning victory. This administration wants a compliant, left-leaning, liberal prime minister in Israel that they can roll over, that they can get to agree with weak negotiations with Iran, with a weak posture toward Palestinians or Hamas or Hezbollah, wanting more and more territory and further reducing security in Israel. They want someone that they can manipulate and roll over, basically, Frank. And they don't have that with Benjamin Netanyahu, and that's why they're so opposed and upset about his election. They reached out more to people like Vladimir Putin after his so-called election victory than they did to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Congressman, let me ask you, what is your view of the role Congress should be playing in vetting this deal that the president is cooking up with Iran?
Well, the president does not want to send a deal to the Senate and call it a treaty where they would have to agree by two-thirds, and it's a bad deal. I think the Senate, in a bipartisan fashion, Frank, would reject that. And one time, Richard Nixon even sent a deal to both houses of Congress because he said that this is a national priority. I'd love to see the House involved in this where I have a vote. Let's at least have a Senate vote. And if he wants to do it by executive order, you know, Tom Cotton was right. The next president in 22 months could undo with the stroke of a pen whatever is done by executive order today vis-a-vis Iran. And it was right of Tom Cotton to point that out.
A very important shot across the bow. We'll be talking more about it shortly with Fred Flights. Congressman Doug Lamborn, I appreciate so much what you do on the House Armed Services Committee and in the EMP caucus and missile defense and so many other respects. And not least your visits with us from time to time. I hope you'll do it again soon. Thank you so much for your service, sir. Keep it up. Next up, Fred Flights joins us. We'll talk with him about these issues and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.